Oh, it was the best episode ever. Oh, it was the best episode ever.
Jesus H. Christ. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm ready to party with the Ewoks, goddammit.
Fuck, I don't want to do it.
I love you, honey. I'll be right over after I finish the Happiness Patrol. Your daughter's too young for coffee.
No, she's not.
Yeah, she is. You're not supposed to drink coffee until you're 18. When you start smoking cigarettes, that's when you need coffee, so you better...
Not in San Francisco. We like our coffee.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, whatever.
Uncle Lou, as much as I love you, I fucking hate Florida.
They feed them chickens on a string. Pa-zing, ding! I can't do a good ricochet, but that would have been a great place for a ricochet.
You know, red and yellow kill a fellow, red and black, friend of Jack. So here's the difference, okay?
He's on me like white on rice. It's crazy.
There you go. We already did that joke. Sorry.
You're funny. God, you're funny. You're in a mood today. You got some donuts in you, I bet.
I got some donuts.
Y'all sugared up and ready to go, hon?
You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 61 of the Happiness Patrol. I am Lewis B. I am joined here by the wonderful Nancy A. and the always vivacious Miss Tara W. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Hello.
So we are going to be talking about a little bit of Doctor Who news this week, and also a little Happiness Patrol news, but more importantly, and most importantly, I must say, the second part of the Doctor Who Season 6 premiere, Day of the Moon. And boy, oh boy, it was, you know, what the hey is what I got to say. That's exactly right.
That's exactly
right.
Y'all.
And if you think that's something, listen to this, because the Happiness Patrol starts right now.
Right on cue. Yeah,
that's really.
That's a good one. So a lot of you are probably like thinking, what the fuck? Just like a lot of us were thinking, what the fuck, at the end of the Day of the Moon. It's a spoiler, so if you haven't seen it yet, well, you need to go out and get your ass out there and get on iTunes and download it and watch it, for crying out loud, because it is very exciting. Even if you didn't like the first part, The Impossible Astronaut, or if you may not have cared for it or whatever, it makes sense. You gotta trust in the Moth. It makes sense once you see the Day of the Moon. But a lot of people are saying, you know what, this left me with more questions than answers. So, but anyway, here at the Happiness Patrol, we're trying to sort it all out, and we've got clues. The Moth has given us clues, and there's other things. So what the hey? So Tar, welcome again.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and Nancy, hey, thanks. Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Leela couldn't make it today. This week, she had a little family emergency going on, but we hope that everything is good there. Day of the Moon. I didn't know what the hell to think about this. After I watched it, I actually at the end of this episode, and this is something that has not happened to me ever. After I finished watching this episode, I actually got up from my chair and I walked around the house, and I was like, just thinking, what the hell? Because it shocked the piss out of me. Absolutely shocked the piss out of me. For those of you who watched it, you know what I'm talking about.
The end.
The very end. And it was just, what a, would you call this a cliffhanger, Tara, or what?
Yeah.
So, do we have theories yet or not? I'm sure you've got like some sort of theory, right, Tara?
I'm just not going there. I'm just gonna, you know, if that's the story Moff wants to tell, he can tell it. I am not gonna make myself crazy following conspiracy theories.
Oh, gotcha. So,
and all these people with a billion and one, oh, it's this and oh, it's that. And I don't fucking care. Okay.
So you're done watching Doctor Who, is what you're saying?
No! No, I'm just not going to beat myself up over it, you know? I'm just going to let her go, and we'll see how it resolves.
Nancy, are you beating yourself up over this?
I'm not beating myself up. I think it's kind of fun to figure out who the little girl is or is going to become. I have my theories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of people think we're talking Ronnie. The Ronnie. And I know I personally think it would be cool if it's Romana. I personally think it would be cool if River Song is a fob-watched Romana. But I've always said that.
A lot of us older fans, or classic fans, I guess. That's what we'll call ourselves, classic fans. A lot of us classic fans.
Vintage fans.
Vintage fans. Oh, vintage has a certain connotation, too. I'm not all steampunk yet. So when I do need another steam pump for, like, my kidneys or whatever, then I can be vintage, but not yet. So, a lot of classic fans seem to say, oh, well, it's Omega or Romana or whatever Time Lord. Slip your favorite Time Lord in here, you know, or favorite companion in here, you know, whatever. I don't think he's going that way. I think he's going for newer type sort of things. I could be wrong, of course, because, like I said, it's only a theory. I don't know who this little girl is. I don't know if she's Amy's daughter or not. But, you know, it sure damn sure looks like it, because, you know, they had the picture that she found in the room of Amy with the little girl.
That could mean a lot of things, though.
Yeah.
I expect that to be a twist. Because they're setting it up to make you think it's Amy's daughter. I'm pretty sure she isn't.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, and then you can get into the whole mind fuck of whoever the hell it was behind that little sliding, you know.
Yeah, there you go. That was interesting, Nancy, the whole little sliding door thing there where the person, the one-eyed person says, no, I think she's just dreaming, you know.
Yeah.
And that...
Where'd that come from?
That is interesting, because I'm sure that we're going to be seeing that later in the series.
I'm just...
Frustrated?
Frustrated. That's a good word. I think I like Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
You know, it was one thing that you had a little drop in, not even every episode.
You had
a little drop here and there of that one thing, just kind of like lurking at the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like a barrage of Bad Wolves.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure which one is going to be the key.
Yeah, what are the others?
And what are all the red herrings?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I can appreciate lots of red herrings because, you know, I'm an old mystery fan, but it gets to be a little too much.
Let me put it back to the old classic: is Doctor Who a children's program or an adult program? And I've, you know, said for the longest time that it is. Yeah, they try to gear it towards both. How many small children are going to want to watch this?
Well, my son watched it.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of, let's go to the 10-year-old Tony corner right now, okay?
Well, what his reaction was, I think he was fine with most of the episode. The cliffhanger at the end had him going, "What?"
So we got a new feature here on the Happiness Patrol. We've got Nancy's 10-year-old son. He's going to give us his take on... This is Tony's... 10-year-old Tony's take on Doctor Who this week. So, Tony, welcome to the Happiness Patrol.
We'll
say hi.
Hi.
Want to try that again? Just say hi.
No, that was fine. I think that'll work fine. So, Tony, how old are you?
10.
10. So you've been watching Doctor Who for how long now?
As long as my mom has.
Oh, okay. Okay, so tell me this, Tony. What did you think of the Day of the Moon?
I thought that it made sense completely, except how's the girl a Time Lord? It just doesn't make sense. Everything else makes sense, but with the little girl, I'm just like, what the?
So everything else makes sense. So Amy was pregnant. Amy wasn't pregnant. What about the scanner? The scanner said that she was pregnant, not pregnant.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because I think it's just another thing. I just think that Moffat's messing with us again.
Uh-huh. So tell me this. Do you think that where do you think the silence came from?
I think that they didn't come from anywhere. Earth was where they came from, and then like humans took over, uh-huh. and then the science are just trying to get it back.
Uh-huh. So sort of like the Silurians, then, huh?
I think so.
Uh huh.
Okay.
I see. I got you. That's a good. That's a pretty good thing. So so what was the scariest part of this for you?
I'd say the bit when they killed the old lady in the bathroom.
Killed the old lady in the bathroom?
Oh, wait, was that the first episode?
Oh, that was in the first episode.
Oh,
the old lady. See, when you said old lady in the bathroom, I immediately thought old lady in a tub. And I was like, what? So, okay, I understand.
In the beginning.
You mean Joy. Joy was her name.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That was in the first episode.
So that was the scary part. So do you think they could have left that out and it would have been just fine?
No, I don't. It was just the closest to being scary.
Oh, okay. Well, what about the spooky house? The spooky house that they went into to find the little girl.
Oh yeah, another thing that doesn't exactly make sense.
Oh, uh-huh. What's that?
The lady with the panel on the door to the little girl's room, like it just disappeared.
Uh-huh.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I think a lot of people are with you there, Tony, because they didn't get it either. So, do you think that all will be revealed later in the season?
I think that it's all going to be. Yeah. I think it's all going to be revealed bit by bit in the season.
Cool.
So, Tony, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part, when the doctor suddenly got into the Apollo 11.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was my favorite bit.
Cool.
When it pulled back and you could see that he was in Apollo 11, you thought that was cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. I like Nixon coming in and saving the day.
Yeah,
so that was pretty funny, too. So, well, all right, Tony, you've heard it here first time. Are you going to keep listening to the Happiness Patrol? Probably not, because it's adult rated and you don't need to be listening to it. Auntie Tara says bad words.
but can we get your opinion every week?
I think so.
Cool. Okay, then we'll look forward to it. So, Tony A., this has been 10-year-old Tony's take on Doctor Who. So, thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
Last week's episode, we liked, but we didn't like it that much. It was probably like the least liked heard.
Yeah, this is again. Yeah, this is the only thing that's probably going to keep Dale from hopping on a plane and
coming to get you,
chopping me into tiny pieces. Yes, I to an extent liked both episodes, but I felt they could have been better.
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting a little pissed at the Moff for using the same things over and over, because I know he's better than that. For God's sake, get on another fucking subject. So I will end up watching these a bazillion times, but at the same time, I am a bit disappointed. They're never going to be my favorite episodes. I don't care what he ties them to. They're never going to be my favorite episodes. They're never going to be episodes that I say to people, sit down, you got to see this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Unlike Link, I can name another half a dozen episodes that I would say, oh my God, you've got to see this. This is the coolest damn episode. The one with Vincent Van Gogh.
Yeah,
here, sit down, watch this. This is so cool. I will never, even though I was there and watched him film, I will still say, I'll show them to you. But you're going to need a slide rule and a whiteboard to try and figure out where the fuck this goes. Dale will still defend every episode absolutely to the death. He does not like to hear anybody criticizing it.
Uh-huh.
hear any criticism of any of the acts.
I've heard him talk. I've heard him talk about things he thought were silly and stuff like that. And
yeah, I know, but know. He won't.
But he still. But you're right. He still defends the program to the death. Yeah, you're absolutely.
Well, I think
right.
any of us would. It's just you know. I'm sorry, I got my degree in creative writing and English, and I walk around the world with a red pen in my head. You know, and so I look at something and I say, well, wait a minute, you didn't tie up that. You know, like we were talking before Tara got on, I like mysteries. Right. And mystery, a well-crafted mystery, uh-huh. will be very tight. It's like every loose end is tied up at the end.
Right.
And that's probably part of the reason I like it. And in a lot of ways, Doctor Who follows that format. So really, when you have an end, it needs to be tied up eventually. You know, it doesn't have to be tied up this week, mm-hmm. but I expect them all to get tied up.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they don't, I'm going to be a little...
I don't mind having a few loose. I'm just tired of the repeating themes now, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Moffat, love you very much, love you to bits, but God damn it, I am tired of aliens that you can and or cannot look at. I am tired of things that make you forget. I am tired very much of the Doctor dying as a plot device.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am tired of children wandering in and out of the episodes for no apparent reason. I am tired of, I absolutely love Stephen Moffat, but God damn it, can we just have a Monster of the Week episode and enjoy it?
Yeah.
For once?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking kill you to just do one that's just fun for no apparent reason, you know? Can we go to a planet, solve their problem, have a fiesta, and that's the end of the episode, you know?
Yeah.
I'm ready to party with the Ewoks, God damn it.
You know, I'm just... There you go.
But didn't he look hot in those glasses?
He was so cool in his little 60s suit. He looked great. I was like, he needs a guitar in his hand, and he needs to be singing pop music is what he needs to be doing, because that was, I like that. Oh, he looked really good.
He was hot. That's why, yeah. You know, I said over on Twitter,
I'm not going to say he was hot, but, you know.
No, he was hot. No, over on Twitter, I said, any guy who cosplays as 60s Rory at Galley next year is going to have a full dance card. I mean it.
That's just because he's young, good looking, and thin. And in a suit.
I wish
he'd fucking grow a pair. Okay? God damn it. He's got Mickey's disease. You know? Mickey just followed around after Rose, panting. It was completely useless, completely hopeless, never going to happen. Finally, Mickey goes, fuck this. I can do better. Uh-huh. And off he goes, grows a pair, has a wonderful life.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mickey had a story arc.
And it was like, yes, he did.
You can sit there and you can look at his progress over whatever it was, 2 years, and you see development, you see growth. I don't see growth and development with Rory.
He's just a little panting puppy.
Yeah.
And will always be a little panting puppy. And I'm damn tired of it, you know?
Well, he did spend 2,000 years guarding the woman that he loved.
And does she give a rat's ass? No.
But that wasn't Rory. That was an Auton. That's another thing that bugs me. That wasn't Rory.
That was Rory.
It was I counted
that. Was an Auton, Rory.
But that was Rory.
Still counted as Rory.
Yeah, but see, okay, so that's one thing that never... was clearly understood. Uh-huh. Was it an Auton or was it Rory? Well, it couldn't have been Rory because he lived for so long. So it had to be the Auton. Uh-huh. So how is it Rory has the memories of a plastic doll?
Yeah. Well, it's
how did that happen?
Didn't you remember the scene where he's going to shoot Amy? And he does shoot Amy, but, you know, in the act of doing that, he becomes himself again. He's not an Auton.
So he becomes a real boy. He's Pinocchio.
He's Pinocchio. Exactly. You're exactly right. Now,
And wait. Uh-huh. And how is this different from, you know, the doctor getting regenerated by everybody thinking his name? Or not regenerate, but, you know,
restored.
About that, but they don't gripe about Rory suddenly being Pinocchio.
Well, the other thing about it, you know, that doesn't bother me as much as this. Okay, ladies, the reset button was pushed at the end of the series. In this past episode, the doctor says, "Let me ask you a personal question. Do you remember all those years being a Roman?" And he goes, "No." And he goes, "You're lying." And he goes, "Well, yeah, I do, but it's weird because it's like I can open and shut that door."
Yeah.
You know? And so that's an interesting thing. I think that's going to be developed.
That's TARDIS effect bleeding over. That's being a time traveler. If you travel in the TARDIS, certain aspects of time get wibbly wobbly around you, and you take advantage of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how certain alien races can tell if a companion is actually a companion. And in some instances, they will steal a companion because that timey-wimey shit is still on them.
All right. I'll accept that.
So, it's an interesting thing. But with that same deal, Tara, it's kind of like, well, whoever enters the TARDIS, do you automatically, get that sort of thing? So does Nick...
time spent see in my
so maybe it's like the amount of time it so it builds up after amount
how
of time.
Long are you in there like yeah. I don't think there's a whole hell of a lot of it on Benton. I don't think there's a whole hell of a lot of it on Canton. I don't think there's a whole hell of a lot of it
on
Rose's mom. There is some of it, and I think that to some extent affects how localized time works around them for the rest of their natural lives. So, I think the companions that have been in there longer, the longer they're in there, the more that shit builds up.
That's a very good theory. I like that.
That is a good theory.
And I think that's going to be key to whatever the fuck they're plotting with Amy's baby, which I'm already sick.
Or not baby. Well, it's exactly like last year with the will she or won't she get married. These last two stories really needed, in my mind, is a really good edit. Seriously, I think, and I just went to look at IMDb to see who was the script editor. I don't see one listed. There may be one in the actual credits. I need to go look. But, I think there is not a writer on this planet who can write well without an editor, without a second set of eyes going over and saying, look, you've left this loose end here and you need to clean this up and this might be a little tighter this way.
I don't doubt they're going to tie it all up.
But it still feels too, I don't want to say scattered, but just less than fully formed. I'd like to see things a little bit tighter, and I'd like to have, and it's same problem with George Lucas. I mean, he had a really good editor on Star Wars and he had a long time to work on it and it was fairly tight. But then you look at the later films and they were just a mess because nobody was willing to say, you know what, this would be a little better if you tightened it up here and there.
Hollywood disease. So famous and so big, you become too big to fail. Nobody can say no to you. Nobody's able to walk up to you and go, hey, this is stupid. Don't do this.
Yeah.
It could be a little better if you did this,
Well, the funny thing is, Nancy, I think you're exactly right. And this goes back to Andre seeing this, back to back, and all those other people in New York seeing it back to back at the premiere. When I watched this back to back, it flowed like a movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I flowed exactly like a large scale, big budget movie. And in a certain way, yes, it was. This was a large scale, big budget movie. But it didn't have to be. I think probably this whole thing could have been done in one episode, one tightly knit episode, and you would still been able to capture the grand scale of it all with the filming in Utah and at the dam and everything. And you could also probably see the twists and turns of the crazy ass events that went on here a little bit better. You know, now some of the stuff would have been lost, of course, for time restraint, but I think that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, what worries me is that I know for a fact that Moffat is getting into the whole Lost mystique. And personally, if I wanted to watch Lost, I'd fucking watch Lost.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch Lost. I want to watch Doctor Who. I want to have a good time. I want to watch the Doctor and his companions traveling through time and space, having a good time, and fixing people's problems. I don't want to watch this huge, timey-wimey ball of weird shit connected to
You know, you say that, Tara, but we all know that he's a time traveler. And there's always been times that we've been watching Classic Who and going, you know what, that's really cool. I wonder why they didn't go back in time and do this or fix that or do. And now that he's actually doing it, us old Classic Who fans are starting to say, whoa, wait a minute,
you're breaking the rules.
What do you think, Tara?
No, I think that's complete and utter bullshit. I have got no problem with linking shit up. Uh-huh. I have no problem with that.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing the same shit over and over again.
I got you.
Same memes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I do not appreciate having the Doctor killed as a plot device.
No, I don't either. That's kind of like the line that you don't cross in a way.
And it was like we said last week, it's going to get old. And it's going to be...
It's old now.
Yeah.
I'm declaring this old. Don't do this shit anymore. And here's a big screaming fucking problem that nobody's mentioned until David happened to point it out to me last night.
Uh-huh. What's that?
The Doctor essentially says to everybody on planet Earth, hey guys, guess what? It's silence season. Fucking kill a silence.
Yes, that was the first thought that occurred to me when that happened in the episode. That is so undoctor-like.
Yeah, this is something that Tom Baker wouldn't do with the Daleks.
Guns. Woohoo! Yeah. It's silence season. Yeah. Bang, 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 bang. And the best part about it is you won't remember, so it won't be on your conscience. That is so fucking undoctor.
That's a bit out of character. But he did say that, you know, what's the point of having two hearts when you can't, you know, give a little. But you know, it's not Christmas. You know, he was quite fed up.
God damn it. That's not Doctor.
But the other thing is, you don't see where the silence affected the Doctor so incredibly badly that he has the vengeance or whatever to say, I'm going to wipe you all out, you know. But I mean, at the very least, they say that, you know, oh, this is a parasite race, and they've been sucking on humans and manipulating human development up until 1969. You know.
Yeah, but see, in the present day, think back to the very beginning of last week's episode. There was one out there on the desert.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. So obviously, he didn't kill them all off, just like he's never killed off all the Daleks.
True.
So.
Good point.
But
so,
it's just one other thing that just did not ring good to me. Just kind of went, okay.
And you didn't really see him ponder about it. Now, have you seen him sort of go, is this the right thing to do? Should I have done this? You know, I'm the last
of
time.
Oh, I'm sure he had plenty of time while he was tied up in Area 51 to think about. And after being tied up in Area 51 for a few years in that fucking chair, yeah, I'm sure he thought, you know, I'm going to just off every one of the little fuckers.
Well, he wasn't tied up for
a few years.
Years.
I thought it was just
a month or so.
6 months? 6 months?
I think it might have been.
I thought it was 6 months.
At the very most.
Still 6 months tied to a deck chair, I think.
That's a lot. But for a Time Lord, that's just a skip in the lake.
Well, enough to get that Charlie Manson beard going.
Charlie Manson beard.
Now we have Jesus Doctor Mark II.
No, I don't like Jesus Doctor. I like Charlie Manson Doctor better.
I like the beard. Like the beard.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm afraid I was making damn snarky comments about it because in the confidential, Matt Smith is going on about how much he loves the beard, and the Moth is going about how much he loves the beard. And at one point, Matt says, you know, I love the beard. You know, I think Amy needs a beard. And I said, yeah, Amy does have a beard. He's called Rory.
Yes.
So who is this damn little girl? Who is this damn little girl? Why is she in the astronaut suit? The astronaut suit was obviously made of like a bunch of, like, what did you say, 20 different kinds of alien tech?
The astronaut suit. Yeah. Okay. Now, the Silence couldn't build an astronaut suit, so they put a subliminal message in the humans' minds.
Well, apparently they're a parasitic.
Send a rocket to the moon so that we would make them a spacesuit that they could put all their alien tech into.
Yeah, interesting. You know, you have to say, you know, the doctor did say that they were a parasitic race. They can't survive without another race.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, they're in the background. They're under the skin of the earth, the tunnels that ran everywhere. You know, that's where they are. That's where they, you know, have always been, you know. And
I thought that was a cool concept. And
I thought the
subliminal stuff was kind of cool. Yeah. I like that.
I actually had to watch it again to sort of like get that bit where, you know, it was a subliminal. They not only, you know, basically you forget them when you're not looking at them, but they put hypnotic suggestions into your brain to do things. So
yeah, that was cool.
It is an interesting concept. But yeah, it is kind of weird because you think like, wow, they're an alien technology. They should be able to do something like build a fucking spacesuit. But
because they got to Earth.
Yeah, they got to Earth somehow. So, but you know, it's weird. It's a very strange thing because, like,
and then incorporating the whole happy horse shit from the Lodger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Okay. Yes.
What, the time machine?
You got a set. You spend a lot of money on it. You got to use it again. Jesus Christ.
No, I think that was a good thing because, like, there was a lot of questions at the end of the Lodger, simply because, like, it was like, what the hell? Where did this time machine thing come from? You know, this time machine spaceship, whatever.
Well, we don't know it's a time machine. It's a space machine.
They explained that, you know, and that was all nicely wrapped up, and then it went away at the end of the episode. Why the fuck bring it back? Why the fuck tie it in? Why make things more complicated?
I'll tell you why, because I have a theory here. This is Uncle Lou's theory of who the little girl is. This is just a Happiness Patrol, as Tara might say, happy horse shit.
Uncle Lou.
But this is my theory. Are you ready?
Uncle Lou's happy horse shit.
Uncle Lou's happy horse shit here on the Happiness Patrol. Okay, and I wrote this down. Now, whether it's going to be right or wrong or whatever, we'll find out later. But here it goes. Okay, so River is a Time Lord, okay?
Right.
Amy is pregnant with River Song. I believe you touched on that earlier, right, Nancy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Last week.
Okay, this is why River and Amy felt sick when they first saw the Silence, okay? Because a little timey-wimey thing going on there. You didn't see anybody else get sick when they saw the Silence.
That's true.
You know, okay. So the Silence made Amy pregnant with the doctor's DNA from the time ship that we saw in the Lodger. And that's why that's there. Because remember, the doctor got stuck to it, right? Or not the doctor. Who did get stuck to it? Wait a minute. This is blowing my theory away.
No, it wasn't the doctor.
It was the kid. It was the guy. It was the dude.
It was the girlfriend in the Lodger.
Okay, okay.
Jesus.
Okay.
Christ.
So anyway, also this. Okay, wait. Hear me out. We may just edit this whole fucker out. The Silence said Amy had been there for days, and Amy had only thought she'd been there for like, you know, she just gotten there.
Can we talk a little bit about the fucking X-Files crossover? Can we have a redhead kidnapped have her baby stolen with all these fucking gray aliens running around in a dark, spooky place with slimy shit? Jesus Christ.
So at the beginning of the episode of Impossible Astronaut, the doctor gave his life to this to the astronaut so she could regenerate. Okay, like remember in what was it? The Mauldron Undead, when these aliens wanted to get the doctor's regeneration so that they could live, that kind of thing. I'm thinking maybe something like that.
End of the series is going to be the little girl regenerating into the doctor.
Or something. Oh, I'm not sure. No, if that happens, that'll be kind of stupid. And I may, you never know. I may stop. Because
that'll address that bit about can the doctor regenerate into a woman?
Oh yeah, exactly.
That was a popping up joke. That was a Tom Baker Three Sheets to the Wind joke. Way the hell too long.
Yeah, okay.
Well, no, I think about Joanna Lumley. And Moffat wrote that.
Yeah, cool. That's true. Moffat did write that. So aliens from the future try to prevent River from being born. Is that what's going on? Did River do something so bad that aliens from the future are trying to prevent her from being born? If she is, in fact, a product of Amy traveling around pregnant in the TARDIS.
So let's get into the whole goddamn incest thing, shall we? Oh. If this child is,
we want to go there. Let's go. Let's get on the horse and ride.
That line.
Not going there, okay? Just show me the damn episodes and,
you're just there for the ride.
I'm just here for the ride, and I'm hoping for one or two good ones this season that I can point to and say, see, that's good Doctor Who there, right?
Well,
there.
I think that the rest of the season they're going to do your Monster of the Week sort of thing.
I sure hope so.
They may have a bit of a tie-in, in every episode, just like they did with the crack, because not every episode was about the crack, but it did show up at the end of most every episode. So, man, I can't believe my theory was blown out of the water because I forgot that wasn't the doctor talking to that damn thing. That kind of pisses
me
off. That pisses me off. But I was thinking, wow, yeah, that's why they got the time ship.
I got it.
Yeah.
Turk pulls out the shotgun.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us once again on this episode of the Happiness Patrol. Join us each week throughout the season as we bring you our insights and comments and opinions because, we all got them, right?
Yeah, just like assholes.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, if you haven't listened to the Happiness Patrol before and this is your first time and you like what you hear, we got a whole... Thanks, Sarah. We got a whole bunch more that are probably even funnier than this one. So, Nancy, why don't you tell the people where they can find that?
You can visit our blog at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol and look us up on Facebook, www.facebook.com/thehappinesspatrol.
There you go. That's T-H-E, Happiness Patrol. So, and if you got any feedback at all, we love to hear what you're thinking about the Happiness Patrol, usually. So email us, please. Please email us. What is our address? Oh yes, it's the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we're looking forward to it. So anyway, guys, until next week, yo-ho-ho. See, that's a little thing for next week, you see what I'm doing there?
Bring rum.
Next week is going to be a pirate party, so right here on the Happiness Patrol. So until then, we'll see you later. My name is Lewis B.
I'm Nancy A.
And I'm Tar W, and I'm off to get some more goddamn donuts.
we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
I think I have a little bit of a crush on Princess Beatrice.
Oh, I heard about this.
And her hat.
Well, maybe not so much her hat.
Her antler hat?
Her antler hat. Because that hat is, you know what? You know when I saw that hat, you know what it reminded me of? It reminds me of looking into the, what's the thing on Gallifrey that they take the young boys to look into?
The untempered schism.
Yeah. That's what I felt like if I stared at it too much, it would open up like that.
I think this is a preview for Ascot. Every year they bring out the weirdest shit to put on their heads.
Like, well, I loved it. I loved all the hats.
Weird shit on your head. Go ahead. I thought it was really funny because people were telling me that the queen had the sanest hat in Britain.
She did.
You know, I only watched the highlights episode, and she came out with her little yellow hat, and I was like, yeah, did she get that from Elton John? Okay, yeah, that's sanest hat in Britain, considering the other shit that I've seen so far. Yeah, but yeah, it's a dress rehearsal for Ascot. Ascot's when they bring out all of the really weird shit on your head.
That's the horse race, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. See, I know a little bit about British culture. Not much, but you know.